Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show, PLR. This is PLR. We're coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, just like we do every single Thursday. Thank you for hanging out with us. Good old Sports Talk Radio. Got a lot of stuff to get into today. Sun Devils checked out their basketball season yesterday. ASU Sun Devils, we'll get into that. The Suns won again. We'll definitely touch on to that. And the Lakers found a way to get even lower than they are. Major League Baseball does not have a deal set yet. And Kyler loved you on Instagram, then he hated you on Instagram, and then he loved you again on Instagram. Okay. As we touched on the other day, Aaron stayed, Russ moved. So we'll get into all that and talk about the sheer pettiness of professional sports. So all that's coming up right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Our calling number is 917-889-7828. Phone lines will be open shortly. Try to squeeze in a couple calls as we always try to do. We're brought to you, of course, by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's local in Chandler, Arizona. Bring yourself on in. Let them know that PLR sent you. They'll take 10%. Off your cigar purchase. You can also become a club member to get you access to the members' lounge. Sit back, relax, watch one of the many televisions they have. They do serve beer and wine, so get your adult beverage on while you're enjoying one of your five sticks. If you don't become a member, no worries at all. Still plenty of great places for you to sit, relax, and watch all the games. They are showing all of the college tournament now, the tournament of champions, so everyone's trying to win their conference. So get down here definitely and check it out. Now, if you're unable to make it down here, there's no worries there. Just go to Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. If you order your sticks early enough in the day, they will ship out the exact same day. All that happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Now, on a side note, next Thursday, we will be down here from 9 a.m. until 2. But we are just here watching the games. It's the first round of the NCAA tournament. So come on down and watch it with us, the Sportscape, PLR, the Sportscape. If you come down while I'm in the building, I will give you my discount, by 15% off on your sticks. So you have to come down while I'm here. Again, that's next Thursday at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. As we do every year, we'll keep the tradition going. Next Thursday and Friday, we will not have live shows on. We'll be tweeting, doing social media, and all that kind of stuff in regards to the tournament. So, last night, the Suns returned an ass-whooping for an ass-whooping. I don't know if you remember, there was this movie with Denzel Washington. He had to go save a little girl. I can't think of the name of the movie. His name was Creasy. And when he caught up with the kidnapper, to make an exchange, the kidnapper said, a life for a life, your life for the little girl's life. Well, the Suns did an ass-whooping for an ass-whooping. Miami came to town, whooped the Suns' ass. A few weeks back, Suns went to Miami and returned the favor. Best part of the game last night, Devin Booker out of health and safety protocols. So in other words, he's over that double COVID. He was able to be back and play last night. And a very, very one-sided game after the second half started. Suns did a masterful job. Both ends of the court, just their defense was stagnant, completely stagnant. Miami, all those open shots they got in the first half where things were going in left and right, They just could not get it going in the second half. Suns ended up winning by 21 points. And just a perfectly played all-around game from everybody. Suns had six guys in double figures, which was led by Devin Booker's 23. He went for 23, 8, and 9. Miles Bridges started off the game extremely slow, then got hot, finished with 21. And D.A., the person I really want to talk about the most, everyone can say, what is he going to prove? Now he has this to prove. Now he has this to prove. Now he has this to prove. The one thing I've said about DeAndre Ayton, and I made it known I was on a show last Saturday, one of the best Sun shows you're gonna find, the Sun Solar podcast, and I said the one thing I want him to do more than anything, I want him to be able to rebound. That's it. Rebound the basketball. Because that's just effort. That's just effort. And I gave this long story, and I'm sorry. It was a solar panel. I said Sun Solar Podcast. Solar panel. And he did that last night. Came out with effort, big effort, and just rebounded the ball. Got the point, but just rebounded. Listen, we keep saying all we want. Sun doesn't have to give his man his money. It's really just that simple. So I'm listening to National Hate, and I see a phone call online. I'm going to get to that in 1 second. I was listening to National Hate yesterday on the Suns. And I can sell the person out, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to say the type of nonsensical bull, you know what, that said. Someone on Talking Head last night said, oh, Miami and Phoenix, that's not a preview of the finals. And they said, well, I don't think Miami's going to be there because I think Milwaukee or Philly or whoever they feel would beat them. We'll knock out Miami. And they said, but when it comes to the Suns, I don't know. They're just not going to be there. So their caller said, well, what about, so you're picking the Warriors? No, I'm not picking them. Okay, you're picking Memphis? No, I'm not picking them. Okay, well, are you picking Denver? No, I'm not picking them. So who are you picking? I don't know who I'm picking. I'm just not picking the Suns. That's that asinine hate that stopped Monty Williams from winning Coach of the Year. That's that asinine hate that doesn't vote Devin Booker in to the All-Star game. That's that asinine hate that doesn't give Mikal Bridges first team all defense. For whatever reason, the national media has formed this asinine hate against the Suns. I think that's what I'm just going to start calling it from now on, asinine hate. But anyway, they took care of business yesterday by 21. They come back home, play Friday against Toronto, and Sunday against the Lakers. And I'll get more into the Lakers a little bit later, but I do want to squeeze in a phone call before our guest Michael Caratino calls in. So with that being said, thank you for holding. It's the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
My man Lou, how are you?
All right, better than Lakers, that's for sure. I mean, losing to the worst team in the league probably, it doesn't get any lower than that.
Yeah, well, they couldn't scapegoat Russell Westbrook on this one yet. I'm waiting to see how they manage to do it because he's a scapegoat for everything that goes wrong with that team.
Yeah, and just when we thought that was going to make a big splash, you know, the other big three of the league, and they haven't done much as well as the other big three with the Nets.
Well, you can make a splash, all right. It's the sound of a rock hitting the water. But the whole big three concept, I think, is we've moved on from that. Big threes handcuffs your salary cap. They just handcuffs your salary cap. And so we'll see what happens, what comes of it. But the Lakers, the way they're put together, they're just not a good basketball team.
Yeah, and it wasn't that long ago they won the championship.
No, and everything fell right for them. I guess that's what – maybe I'm the only one on this island, but everything fell right for them to win that title. We were in a bubble. Anthony Davis stayed injury-free. Him and LeBron were able to work together. They had some great role players, and they were in a bubble, in a spot where they were able to hold each other accountable. There was no outside light, no nothing. And so they held themselves accountable for that 4 months. But then reality set back in. And so,
yeah,
I think we got back to seeing what we normally see. Plus, when else will LeBron James, after playing, you know, 5 months of basketball, gets 4 months of rest to recoup? Same with Anthony Davis, mm-hmm. 4 months to recoup. People don't want to say that. I get it, but it's the truth. Look, if there's no asterisks, there's no asterisks. They won the title, fair and square. Everyone else
yeah.
had the same things they had to go through. But that helped them. It really, truly did.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Before I let you go, I see baseball is close to going nowhere fast.
Right. I mean, there was hope, on Tuesday, 17 hours of talks, and then they talked yesterday, and the rug got pulled out from under again.
Yeah, I thought there was some hope, too. I thought there was a glimmer of light. But
yeah,
a glimmer of light is
happened?
Just that, a glimmer, right?
So much for getting our hopes up.
Yeah. Another week has been canceled. So,
right.
Pretty soon, I think it's time to just stop talking about it. For what? I mean, why should we give it more credence than obviously what they're doing? They're the ones that can control the narrative. They're the ones that can control if we have baseball, not just for us, but for the fans too. But
how soon do you think we should
have no real interest? I don't know. You know, when it comes, here's what happens. When it comes back, baseball fans are going to say, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't care. And then, you know what will happen. August roll around, your team will be halfway decent, and you start watching. As of now, I'm almost done with it. And someone said to me the other day, well, it's the players and the owners. I agree it's the players to a point. But I'm really on the owners on this one, Lou. I really am. And I think it's going to be a minute before I get talked off that one.
Yeah. I mean, this is twice now. They talk all day and all night. And you thought there was something going on. Tuesday, they were, almost ready to congratulate each other, deal well done. And 24 hours later, oops, sorry, can't do it.
Yep, so we're back square one.
Yeah.
Nothing accomplished, nothing done. We agreed on this. Yeah, but you haven't agreed on a deal. We're still not playing baseball.
Yeah.
So, that's the story, my friend.
What more do you want?
Money.
Hmm.
It's never enough.
Yeah. Well, I'll be discussing this on Saturday, of course.
Yeah, because you're the man. Last Saturday, Lou, I coached basketball 9 a.m. until 7:30 p.m. Four teams.
It's a long day.
Playoff tournament. Four-team playoff tournament. Doesn't
it
stop.
It is that time of year.
It is. My Saturdays have been donated to youth sports. They start early and they end late. So I guess that's what happens when you coach and when you have kids.
Especially if you have kids.
So, yes, especially. But, all right, my man. Well, listen, I got to jump to this commercial before I get Michael on. I appreciate
you. Talk to you again.
All right, buddy. We'll talk soon. Always good to catch up with a little good friend in the program. Step away for about 30 seconds. Come back. You should have the one and only Mike Caracito on. It's Cave Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
welcome back to the Cave Show, PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us today. Know how you found us? Switch to sportscave.com. Hit that listen live button. And there we were. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Other ways to get us as well, you can get us on iHeartRadio as well as Spotify. Just follow the app, download them at the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Make sure you're following the Cave Show. It's brought to you by the Sports Cave. Get notified when a new show is up and ready to roll. Before Luke called in, before he called in, it's always good to have Luke call in. There's so much stuff we talked about. And I was talking about the Suns and how they get no respect. And I'm telling you, this team is so, so good. So good. So, yeah, like I said, the asinine national media decided that it would be someone other than the Suns, but they couldn't tell you who. Utterly ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. It gets so old. It really does. It gets so old. But anyway, change it up. It's that time, and you know what time it is. On the air with me right now, my guy, the one, the only, believe in backcourt basketball, the one, the only, Michael Caratino. Mike, I'm sad, man. I don't know what I'm going to do without Charlie on that timeline. That really bummed me out. There's no secret she was my favorite coach at ASU. That bums me out.
Well, and, you know, I was going to say, I mean, it's crazy you bring that up because happy birthday to one Charlie Turner Thorne. March 10th is the great coach's birthday. And, I mean, if anyone's earned it to step away, I know her son, Quinn, I mean, he's going to college. He'll be in college next year. And, I mean, he plays at Corona, played hoops at Corona. He's got really good grades. And I think their game against Red Mountain, and I know, I think his head coach said that he had a few, he has a few offers, some Division II. If she wants to go watch him play, you know, watch him play and stuff like that, if anyone's earned it, she has. But, yeah, man, I'm with you. It's a pretty bummer of a day. But it is her birthday, so happy birthday to Coach. I have to agree with you on the Suns. It cracks me up about the national media because you know, oh, the Lakers, and they get healthy, they're going to get hot. And, you know, the Warriors, Draymond Green, and the Warriors deservedly so, because at least they're winning. But then, oh, the Brooklyn Nets, who aren't even going to beat the Sixers tonight. But it's like, oh, the Suns, just the first team to clinch a playoff spot and not have two money players there and to go into Miami and return the favor to what the Heat did to them here. But, hey, man, let's not talk about the Suns because, you know, we'll talk about the ninth-place Lakers and, you know, the eighth-place Clippers if they get, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard back. But, you know, the Suns, they've just been winning, but they won't know how to win in the playoffs. So let's not talk about them, my friend.
Yeah. Well, it's not even that they don't talk about them. It's what they say about them that just drives me absolutely nuts. Because when they talk about them, I know – a few months ago, I want to say it was around December. I don't remember. They played Minnesota, and the Suns just kicked their ass, right? And it was one of those where the score didn't indicate how well the Suns had kicked their ass. And I remember one of the guys on the four-letter said, this isn't even about the Suns. It's about Minnesota. How the hell is it not about the best team? Like, what are you talking about?
Well, you know what? Last night with Pash and Redick doing the game on the Four Letter Network, Redick was like, he's been saying it for a while. And, I mean, I know, I'll give Kendrick Perkins his due, too, because when they were ranking the teams, I mean, Kendrick Perkins is big on Ja Morant, rightfully so, and with what Memphis has done. But he's pretty much said the Suns are the best team in the league. And, I mean, but you're right. Overall, it's always some excuse. Like, you know, you win 18 in a row. Do you realize that? And I know you do, but I'm just saying to the fans out there, do you realize that this team has 42 games of win streaks this year. That's over half the season of win streaks for the Suns this year. But, you know, hey, they're no good. But anyway, let's talk about teams that are more relevant and should be talked about, right?
Yeah. What cracks me up the most is, I don't know if you heard me say it earlier, but so I'm listening to some talking heads yesterday, and one of them said, well, tonight's a preview, a possible preview of the NBA Finals between the Suns and the Miami Heat. And the other one said, well, I'm not all in on Miami. I think either Milwaukee or Philadelphia can eliminate them. So he gives you a reason. And then he says, I don't think the Suns are going to be there. And so the other guy says, well, who do you think will be there? You think it'll be the Warriors? No. They're going to be Memphis? No. Denver? No. So then who? I don't know, just not the Suns. What kind of asinine logic is that?
And he gets paid for that, right?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's like a six-year-old that says, my dad can beat up your dad. Well, why? Because he's dad. Because.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it's also, you know, like stuff you throughout the years you pick on me for, because in every sport, as much as I respect somebody's talent, what they did to, like, you know, someone's always saying that someone else is a hater. And I think a lot of people, you know, it's always an excuse about Chris Paul. Last year before the playoffs, oh, well, you know, he can't stay healthy. And then he hurts his shoulder against the Lakers. He misses, a game and a half, basically, and then finished that series with the sore shoulder, but they were able to take care of business. But, you know, Chris Paul gets hurt and limps through it, but Anthony Davis gets hurt, and it's an excuse why the Lakers win. Then they go to Denver. Oh, Jokic, I know there's no Jamal Murray. He got hurt, but Jokic is the MVP. Ayton can't handle him, and the Suns sweep them. Then you get the Clippers, and that was the series. But the Suns beat them, and then they go up 2-0 Milwaukee, and we all know what happened. But still, like, it's always just, oh, well, you know, Chris Paul, and then if he is playing well, then there's something else. And it's just, yeah. Look, everybody's got to be a hater. The Lakers. Well, I mean, come on. They had a lead, and they lost to Houston last night. Don't talk to me about the Lakers. I won't hear anything about the Lakers. I hope they get the 8 seed. You know what? I actually really do hope they get the 8 seed. And then when they do get it, when people say, oh, be careful what you wish for, when they do get it, I hope the Suns blast them in 4. Then I want to hear our national media say, it won't be, like you said, it won't be credit to the Suns. It'll be, well, you know, the Lakers, I mean, they fought, they got in, they weren't healthy. You know, they probably, it would have been a better match. No, it wouldn't be a better matchup. It's fully healthy. Yeah, Anthony Davis is a beast, but look how DeAndre Ayton's playing. So, yeah, you're right. There's no need to get fired up, but it's frustrating. It's the other F word. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it gets old. I think more than anything, it just gets old. I watched a little bit of that Lakers game last night, and the one thing I'm tired of hearing, and I'll say this about them, well, LeBron's averaging 29 points a game. Look how long he's been in the league. There were 4 times I can recall, which I'm not going to do, that he made no attempt to guard a man. No attempt. And all 4 times they scored. So as I tell my kids when I'm coaching, I don't care if you get 20 points. If the guy you're guarding gets 30, you ain't helpless. So I don't care that he's averaging 29. Defend somebody. So anyway,
exactly.
I'm not even going to get into that. I want to get on to this. So yesterday, heartbreaking, the Devils just could not close against Stanford. I mean, no matter what happened, they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory and fell apart. Mike, what happened down the stretch?
Man, you're the first person I thought of, because I said, oh, I know I'm going to hear it. I know I'm going to hear it, because I said, but look, the way they played down the stretch of the season, that's the team we expected. You know, playing defense, winning 7 out of 8 games, getting in rhythm offensively, pounding the ball down low to Jalen Graham and Kamani Lawrence, opening up 3-point shooters to have more open looks, and you're up 14 points. So what happened was Stanford actually just said, you know what the hell, we got nothing to lose. And you and I both know, and again, it's not an excuse, but you know how frustrated I get. You know, down the stretch in you know, especially tournament, college tournament, NCAA, the conference tournaments, NCAA tournament, that they're not calling any fouls anyway. I mean, they did call it when it's blatantly obvious Stanford's trying to foul. But okay, do the math, man. You're up 14 points with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left. There is a 30-second shot clock. My man, if you just pass the ball around and take and have 10 possessions of 30 seconds, you run the clock out. Like, they have to start fouling you, and if you take, you get a shot clock violation, okay, if they get a bucket. You go back, it'll take them, what, 7 to 10 seconds to get a bucket. So that's 40 seconds off the clock. So you're down to 2:10. Then you take another 30 off. Like, I mean, literally, you can just hold the ball and get shot clock violations. And, yes, that is ugly basketball. But come on, man. Like, you're turning the ball over. They're pressing. Like, that's the frustrating part, to see them look like that they've never, you know, that they were an all-star team just assembled before, you know, like when we've done tournaments, whether, you know, especially at the high school level, whatever, you see these all-star teams and it's kind of a little sloppy at first. Like, that's what the last 2.5 minutes looked like, and it was so opposite of the team we've seen the last 2.5 to 3 weeks for ASU. Like, that's what I didn't understand. Up until the, you know, what, the 37-minute mark, it was the 37-minute and 37-minute mark, it was the ASU team. But that last 2 minutes, it just looked like the beginning of the year, guys were out. They couldn't do anything. And you know what? You do have to tip your hat to the team that comes back, Paul, and charges back. But, I mean, you missed three free throws down the three, four free throws down the stretch. Like, it's just little things like that that makes it more frustrating. That being said, unfortunately, they probably would have lost to that team down south today. But it still would have looked better. I mean, you can't do that. That's heartbreaking.
So let me break this down real quick. On the line with me here on the Cape Show with PLR, coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, the one and only Mike Caratunito, believe in Pac-12 basketball. So I'll break this down real quick, and I'll turn it back over to you. With 2 minutes left to go, exactly, Kamani Lawrence missed a 1-1. At that point, it was 69-61. At 138, Jalen Graham missed the lead of a 1-1. At that point, it was 69-62. So you're up 7 points with a minute 38 left, and you're thinking, okay, fine, we can fight through this. With a minute left, Marion Jackson committed a turnover. At that point, it was 69-64. At 56 seconds left, Marion Jackson missed another free throw, 70-66, after making his first one. Then you get a couple missed jumpers, and then the wheels just fell off. So I'm trying to figure out here, if you're up 70-69, and you try to run the clock off, Jalen Graham missed that last jumper, which then gave, obviously, Stanford life. But you're up 70-66 with over 50 seconds left. I'm just watching this. And like you said, if I do the math in my head, I should have been able to dribble that off.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
Breaking news real quick. I'm just getting information that looks like baseball has agreed to a deal and the lockout will be ending. So we'll touch on that as this goes on. More information comes in. I'm getting that sent to me right now, literally right now.
Oh, I just saw it too on Twitter.
Yep. There you go. Breaking news on the Cave Show. But so we'll get more into that in a second because we were going to talk about it. But let's finish up with this ASU stuff. So I guess I want to ask you like this, Mike. Do you put that one on the players or do you put that one on the coach when the wheels are falling off? Is it his job to get everyone together or are the players just messing up?
Look, I think it was when they made it 69-60, he took a timeout. You look at everybody. You know, I mean, Bobby's passionate, but he's not going to freak out of the huddle. He's got too much experience. You look at everybody and say, hey, take a deep breath. This is what we have to do. So, yeah, I mean, did the players get tight because the team was coming back on them? I guess. I mean, at some point, look, he took a timeout. There was another timeout by Stanford. So you had even more time to calm them down. And it's just – to me, it's on the players. I mean, down that stretch, like you said, the free throw, like, look, you miss an open shot, okay, it's basketball, it happens. You miss a contested shot, okay. But missing free throws in that thing, to me, and that's the point, yeah, they're going to foul who's, you know, the lowest free throw shooter on the team. They're going to aim to do that. Okay, but get the ball in the hands of the guards. Like, make them foul on the inbounds, trying to cut off the guards. And it's, to me, I mean, that's the thing. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely put that last stretch on the players, just like I give the players credit for the first 38 minutes of the game when they're just crushing Stanford. They're rolling. So, yeah, I mean, it's not – he took the timeout. He didn't let it get too close before. I mean, yes, they cut the lead down, but like you said, it was 8 points. It was seven. It was seven, 8 points at that time. So it's like, okay, hey, just relax. This is what we're gonna do. And they look. They wanted to get shots, but yeah, I mean, you could just literally dribble it out and take shot clock violations. Make them foul you at some. Because then the one free throw I know from what was that from? Was Jackson that went in on the front end of the 1-1? So I mean, he hit the front end, missed the back end. But, like, you're dribbling out, you make him foul more. Chances are one and two is going in at that point, which is, you know, sad that you're clinging to that. But, yeah, I mean, again, I put it on the players, you know, because just like if we're going to give the players credit for whooping their butt and even, you know, when they were here in Tempe and then controlling the game pretty much the whole time from tip-off until the last, you know, 2 minutes and 50 seconds, or 2 minutes, whatever you want to say, it's got to be on them. And I mean, they obviously feel terrible, but it was a team that, you know, you thought, okay, if they get by Stanford, you know, like I said, who knows, maybe they go on a crazy run. They pulled Oregon State from last year, but they got to close out better than that for the guy, you know, I mean, for guys that'll obviously be back. It sucks to have Kamani's career, you know, end on a game like that. But for the guys coming back next year, it's, yeah, it's definitely a bad taste in your mouth, and hopefully, again, they get off to a better start, more consistent start. I like what they have coming in. So, and we'll see, you know, if you and I talk about the transfer portal. But, yeah, I mean, it's got to be on those players. Look, I don't care if it's great. I mean, grade school, we might expect it because crazy turnovers, whatever. But, man, 14 points with under three to go, you can't blow that lead.
You cannot. Now, there is one thing you said. I just want to make sure. So Kamani Lawrence is not returning for his 10th year.
Oh, here he goes. Here he goes. You sound like Eddie House in the broadcast when he broke the record game. Eddie House goes, oh, man, Kamani was such a great teammate. You know, and they just kind of – he said it, like, pretty quick. And, like, and some people – it took me a second to catch it. And I'm like, man, what's he getting his material from, Paul? I'm like, here we go. Picking on a kid that's a good kid, you know, came back, worked hard, was a staple, and we got a pick on him. But yeah, Eddie House made a Paul joke, so I thought that was pretty good.
So he's not. You can confirm he will not be back for his 10th year. Okay, cool.
Nobody said that about Villanova with Jay Wright when they won the national title a few years back, and they have what, three seniors and two juniors. I'm not in the starting lineup, but there was like three to four juniors on that team. Like, nobody said that about Jay Wright and Villanova, but okay.
Well, because I don't think they had it. Now, let me ask this. Is he going to be a grad transfer to GCU, or did he use all his eligibility?
Oh, here he goes. No, his eligibility. Man, all right, you know what? Let's move on. You just want to get a rise out of it. It's okay. I get it, you know.
I was just asking for clarification. Purposes. I'll tell you one thing that I did see real quick. This is flashing back to the Suns, and I think this is going to help them a lot too, probably. I just saw a Corona commercial, and it's one of those Snoop Dogg commercials.
Oh, the one with Devin Booker.
With Devin Booker, so maybe he'll start getting some national exposure. But yeah, so, all right, well, so just so you guys know, believe in Pac-12 basketball very own, Mike Caratino has confirmed Kamani Lawrence is out of eligibility and will not, I repeat, will not be a 29-year-old senior reporting for his 10th year of eligibility. So that's clear.
Wow, this guy. This guy, yes, all right. Oh, man.
Just checking, bro, just checking.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got that clear. You know, everybody can – everybody will be happy. I mean, it's sad, you know, but, hey, good for him. I hope – and, you know, we'll see. He's the type of player, real quick. I mean, all kidding aside, he's the type of player. I know you asked me a few weeks ago, you know, we were talking about, you know, the draft, obviously, with Bagley not playing this year, and he's I've heard he's coming back. I heard he's not transferring. I heard he's coming back. So if Bagley comes back, I mean, again, I know you and I talked about going pro is one of those things where he hasn't played much in the last 2 years. So, if you know, that would be pretty pretty tough for, you know, he might get drafted, but it'd be a long road up. So, yeah, as of now, from what I've heard, he's not going to transfer. He's come, Bobby wants him back. He's coming back. So, you know, hopefully, like I say, get 100% healthy because that's a big lift to the team. But Kamani's the type of player, you know, you ask, and I think, you know, maybe, you know, I know he's not, doesn't have the, you know, the biggest stuff, for, not that he's short, but like frame-wise, he's not like Luke Dort, who's doing obviously pretty well with Oklahoma City. But I think he's, you know, maybe kind of like a G League guy that, you know, a year or two could actually be in the league because, you know, he's not scared to take it down low. I mean, you and I know he's not the biggest, and Bobby asked him to do a lot, you know, as he, you know, guarding bigger guys and banging around, but he had no pride. He didn't settle for outside shots. He'll take it down there and try to get a shot. Now, does some things need to be refined? Sure, but defensively, can he go out to the wing and defend those guys? Absolutely. So, I mean, again, he has to get a little bit stronger, but he's a guy I think, you know, if he gets on with the, you know, team in the G League, I think he could definitely, you know, be a solid role player in the league.
So let me ask you this real quick. On the Cave Show with PLR, the one only Mike Caratino, leaving Pac-12 basketball. So at what time did you start day drinking? You know that man is headed – you know he's headed to, like, the Portugal B-League. He's going to make a good living.
I know. I'm not saying he can't make a good living there. I'm just saying with his demeanor and his work ethic, you've seen guys I'm not going to say, I'm not saying he's the most talented and, you know, oh, he's the best, you know, oh, he needs to be in the league. I'm not saying right away. I'm just saying a year or two. So, yeah, maybe if he does go over to Europe, fine. But I'm just saying, I think with the way he works and the way he plays, he could get there. I mean, yes, it would take a little bit more, but I think he can.
Well, at 28, he doesn't have that many more years to put that much work in.
Okay, you know what?
Okay, that's what my
concern is. All right, Grandpa. Okay, Grandpa. Moving along, Grandpa.
Okay, change the subject. So Kyler loved the Cardinals until he hated them on Instagram, and now it seems like he loves them again. I don't put any weight in this Instagram bullcrap. I really truly don't. I think people put more weight in it than they should. Does it bug you when guys scrape their Instagram and they put stuff back on and they take it off? Does that bother you at all?
The only people that bothers is, and again, no offense to the high school kids, but it's like high school kids. Because, like, I mean, I was thinking about this the other day when I saw him put it back on. But right before Giannis signed his extension, my friend, he wiped all his he just cleaned out his social media, and then what, like less than five days later, whatever it was, within a week, he signed his extension with Milwaukee. So yeah, I mean it's ridiculous. If he wants to scrape it, like, I don't think that the Cardinals are like, oh, we need to negotiate and spread the social media. Like it's very laughable. It's something for people to talk about, I get, but. Yeah, man, I'm like you. Cool, scrape it, clean it. Like, you have old stuff, and you're like, cool, let's just start anew. And that's that. But, yeah, it is comical. I mean, come on, it is very comical.
Let me ask you this. I want a yes, no answer, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Yes or no. Should the Cardinals give him the payday now, or should they wait?
I say wait till after this season. Like, you went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was a bad, you know, first round game for him, but for everybody pretty much. I mean, the Rams, you know, congrats to the Rams. They won the Super Bowl. It was the best division in football. It was the toughest division in football to play in last year, and the best and the toughest in my eyes. And you see what the teams did. So, I mean, the fact that three of them get to the playoffs, two of them play in the NFC Championship game, and one wins the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I mean – look, they control the narrative. And I, like, you know, Steve kind of answered it perfectly at the combine. You heard that saying, yeah, I mean, so you can't take anything personal. It's not personal. We understand it's a business. Like, we're not going to get to that point. I think Steve Keim obviously has been doing it for a minute, has the right attitude. And, you know, Kyler, I saw he had a big donation today to frontline workers. It was big donation. I just came across it literally before I called in, which is pretty cool. So, but yeah, I mean, I say, you know, play good this year. They can still put pieces around them and, you know, see what they do, obviously, you know, free agency and draft and stuff like that and go from there. But if I'm the Cardinals, I mean, yeah, look, I get both sides. Because if I'm trying to negotiate with you and it's in good faith, like, hey, we want to get this done, you know, this and that. But, hey, if we do this, I mean, look, Dak already restructured his to free up more cap space. So, I mean, he's getting all his money, but he had a restructure for that. So if I'm the Cardinals, I mean, look, yeah, you let him know you want him. He's the guy. He's not going anywhere. But as for what's responsible for the team right now and to sell to him, you want to take that next step. You want to go to where the Rams did and be, you know, the third team in 3 years to host the Super Bowl in their home stadium. This is what we need to do. We can address this at the end of next season. And I think that, yeah. And if you ball out, then you just earned yourself more money. So let's we're in this together. We want you here. But financially, and again, that in the next CBA, lastly, I'll just say this, Paul, is that in the next CBA, because the players are the ones, you know, from, what, 12? God, it would have been 12, 13 years ago, or 14, whatever it was, that screwed this generation, because Sam Bradford, as we know, was the last quarterback, and those first-round picks were the last quarterbacks and players to come in with the huge signing bonuses. I mean, Sam Bradford got, what, around $50 million for never playing a down, and then they changed it up. So the players are the one that did this to the players. And owners said, hey, we want a four – like, if you get drafted in the first round, it's a four-year deal, plus the team has the right to pick up the fifth-year option. So if you come in at 22 years old, you're basically 27, and then if they franchise you twice, you'd be 29 before you hit the free agent market. So in the next CBA, the players need to be like, everything needs to change. If you want to benefit the future generations, make it the Kirk Cousins thing, man. Even though I know he was a veteran, he got franchised twice, but make them 3-year deals. You want, instead of four, you say three, and the club has an option for the fourth. That way, and then it's like, and you can only franchise a player once. You can't franchise any player twice. Because if you do it to the quarterback, if you do 3 years, so it's 26, so you'd basically be 26 if they pick up the fourth-year option, and then 27. You're obviously still very much in your prime to go get a huge deal after that as a quarterback. I mean, I'm just saying for quarterbacks, but any player, I mean, left tackles, linebacker, anybody, make the first round 3 years, and if you want to push the fourth round to, because guys that get drafted late in later rounds actually – come up first, so they that makes no sense to me. You're penalizing for being a first round pick. So I know the players want their money, and again, they should want their money because they're the ones sacrificing their bodies and stuff. And I understand that, but they need to turn around for future generations. Because look, like I said to you last time, this is what rubs fans the wrong way. A guy after 2 years wants to renegotiate. Well, if he plays like crap for 2 years, you know, after he signs his new contract, do they get to give him a pay reduction? I mean, they can try and get rid of him, but now not everybody's going to be Washington and take a ridiculous contract. But either way, like, the players did this to the players. So that's why, again, and I'm not, you know me, I'm definitely not siding with the owners saying they're right about everything, because I know we're going to get to baseball. They've done their share of shady stuff, you know, in collective bargaining. I won't say shady, but gotten their ways because they just dangle more money in front of the players, and then they get their way. So the players did this to the players.
So let me ask you, well, I'll say this real quick. I think the person that gets screwed the most are the running backs. I don't worry about quarterbacks because they're going to get their money.
Absolutely.
But the running backs, so if you're a running back, you probably don't want to be drafted in the first round because then you really do get screwed with that option. But in saying that, I'm gonna go back to this with football. Aaron Rodgers stayed with the Packers. Yes or no? You surprised?
No, he's just a diva, but no.
And then second question, Russ ends up in Denver. Are you surprised?
Nope, because everybody in predictions, we like to think we know what we're talking about. When he said last season for a team, I said that Denver, and it's on our show on the Sports Arena, shameless plug, but I said Denver would be the best fit for Russell Wilson because what do they have? They have a defense, and they have an offensive line that can block for him. Oh, and they also do have a very solid comparable running game in Denver as, you know, they want to have in Seattle, but the line's a little bit better. So, no, not surprised. I think it just made that division insane quarterback-wise as I overstate the obvious for everybody out there, but not surprised at all.
Do you love the pettiness and the hatred that Russ and Aaron Rodgers had? So Aaron Rodgers, who's been on everyone's first, I mean, you couldn't turn the four-letter on without hearing, Aaron Rodgers, his cousin's uncle's niece just rented a tractor in Wisconsin. So it looks like he's going to be staying. I mean, no matter when you turn it on, it was some bullshit like that, right? So he announces that he's staying. And so before everyone can really get into the Aaron Rodgers stuff, Russ is like, oh, by the way, go ahead and let everyone know I'm coming to Denver. I'm in. Look, I'm all in. I'm pushing all. What does Herm Edwards say? I'm casino blitzing this. I'm pushing all my chips to the center. I love the pettiness with those two. I absolutely love the pettiness. Am I alone with that, Mike? Am I the only one that's here for the pettiness between Russ and Rodgers?
I don't think you're alone. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, like I said, a diva. Him and Ben Roethlisberger, if they're not being talked about, like everything that drove us crazy about Brett Favre, like after, you know, year 11, am I going to retire? He just didn't want to go to training. He didn't want to participate in training. He doesn't have to. I mean, just show up at training camp, hang out. You don't have to do anything. You're Brett freaking Favre. Like, you know, the second week of training camp, you know, going into the second preseason game, then you start taking snaps. But, I mean, like, everything that Brett Favre got ripped for is saying, oh, he needs his attention. Brett Favre, I mean, you remember, come on. It shouldn't shock you with the Packers quarterback. Remember when they had Favre watch and they were out in Mississippi hanging out? Like, it was ridiculous. But that being said, like, yeah, I mean, it is petty. I don't think Russ was as petty, though. I mean, I know last year he said he wanted to trade, and the only thing I don't like, and if I'm a teammate, you know, you kind of bust your offensive line. Not that they're not trying, but they're just getting work. And your head coach and your GM who put all this money onto the defensive side of the ball, but, I mean, you got to put a little bit more in the O-line. So Rodgers is, yeah, I mean, you got to act like the smartest guy in the room, like we talked about when the whole COVID thing, like, oh, is this safe thing, think he's the smartest guy in the room. It's like, dude, I get it. You went to Berkeley. You're not, yeah, great. You hosted Jeopardy. Last I checked, you're not like a nuclear physicist. You're not splitting atoms. You're not coming up with some new elements. Like, dude, you're smart.
But,
okay, that's fine. But you don't, it's the condescendingness that I think rubs people the wrong way about Rodgers. But,
well,
I mean, again, the talent is there.
He's inoculated. A lot of us can't say that. We're not all inoculated.
Yeah.
But I will say this, I was all in for the Russell Wilson petty. I'm all in for that type of petty. With him not letting Rodgers still get that headline yesterday, I absolutely loved it. Before we run out of time, let's jump over online with me, the one only my character to believe in Pac-12 basketball. So baseball, I'm going to ask this in this way. Obviously, we've missed the first week. I'm sure they're going to try to figure out a way to work everything in. I'm sure they are. So let me ask you this. Can baseball do something? Because spring training starts tomorrow, officially. Can baseball do anything to the fans to say, hey, look, this was asinine. Come back as soon as possible. Or will fans still hold this against them?
Since it didn't go into the season, I mean, with baseball fans, I'm going to say not really. Yes, games the first week, like it can't start until the 14th. I know they said April 14th was the earliest it could start, but they canceled the first two series. of that. So if that's what, that's 3-6 games. So that's so if they're just going to play 156, okay. I mean, maybe. I don't. Again, like you said, the details are coming out, but it's has to be obviously ratified by both. But from what Jeff Passan said when I saw his on Twitter saying it's just a formality at this point. But the first two series are gone, so if it's 156 games, I mean, I'm sure the players will say, you know, blame the owners, saying, no, we're going to get paid for 162. Or they'll be like, no, we're going to play all those, and they'll figure it out. So I don't know, but I think that fans will, you know, of course the diehards will go, I mean, event, like, you know, any sport will go back in, but it's just, again, I can't wait to see the details and see what the owners actually, of course, lost on, and I'm sure they lost on a few things, and it probably they were going to lose on it anyway, so you could have had regular spring training. So you're saying everybody's reporting, players are reporting to their spring training sites tomorrow. That's what you just saw? Because like
yes.
I said, when it
– Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that's what I just
and
saw.
And
so
first
things
game,
are going to be back
a week from
–
So is it like a week from tomorrow?
Okay. I haven't got that far yet.
I mean,
apologize.
Like, no, don't. I mean, like I said, it just broke. I saw Jeff Passan and like four other tweets when you said it. I was like, oh, wow. He's like, why is my Twitter going crazy? He's like, oh, baseball.
So, but, yeah, I think they'll come back. I think they'll definitely come back. So I got to ask you this. So next week, we're not doing a show on Thursday because – we host the first round, the first few hours of the tournament here at Maduro's. But Monday, so I'm going to put you on the hook now. On Monday, do you have 10 minutes to go over your bracket with us to tell us who you would pick in the to win it all?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I want to show everybody what it's like to have a winning bracket.
Oh, God. So who's going to pick it
for
you?
Three on the left. Oh no! I picked my own. First of all, secondly, three out of the last 5 years, I've with my buddies that I've worked with, I've won our bracket challenge, and won dinner out of it. So I mean, I'm okay with, you know, you talking that trash,
right.
But I usually
have a pretty
decent grip.
Well, I will tell you this: when you get a chance, because I'm going to have you tell everyone where they can find you. Flip to the Kansas-West Virginia highlights because I saw something I've never seen in my life. A player got a tech with West Virginia playing against Kansas, and then right after his tech, Huggy Bear got two techs and got kicked out of the game. Kansas paraded to the free throw line for 6 free throws on technicals and then got possession of the ball. I don't think I've ever seen that. So for entertainment purposes,
wow.
You might want to give that a watch. But, hey, tell everyone where they can find you. And then, like I said, on Monday, we'll 15 minutes, you'll give your brackets, break down every region.
All right. So, yeah, on Twitter, at Diablo00, believe in Pac-12 hoops. It's hopefully going to be a solid selection Sunday for the Pac-12, both men's and women's, but I feel it should be. And then on Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 o'clock here in Arizona. Check it out on YouTube, the Sports Arena, and of course, well, now Monday, but hanging out with my best friend Paul, picking on you know, ASU students that do good things and picking on ASU. But that's why we love you.
All right, buddy, I appreciate it. The one good thing though is we know this: if things don't work out basketball wise for Kamani, he's old enough to. He's probably old enough to run for president now because I think you have to be 36. So at least
wow.
That could be in the future
wow.
for him. But I'm just kidding. He's a very good kid. My man, I appreciate it. We'll catch up with you on Monday.
Thanks, buddy. You're the best. Talk to you then.
All right, buddy. That's my guy there, the one that we might catch, you know. And listen, I'm just poking fun. I've interviewed the show man several times. He is a very good young man. Just poking fun. Last segment brought to you by Scout and Seller Wine Consultant Tina Calhoun, 602-410-4821, 602-410-4821. Tired of your wines having sugars, additives, and all that other BS in it. Makes you tired, makes you feel eh. stop it, get your wine done the right way. All you got to do is call Tina Calhoun, 602-410-4821, Scout & Cellar. She is a wine consultant that you definitely want to get in touch with. Thank you, Maduros, for hosting us today. Next week, don't forget, we will be here. Watching the games, come down while I'm here. You get my discount, so you can't beat that. March Madness, can't wait. Tomorrow, we will have a best-of show Monday. We will be back live as we will be picking our tournament challenges out. So we'll be ready to go with that. Until then, everyone, be safe. Make sure you're following us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook, Caves with a K. SportsCave.com is the website. Again, Cave is with a K. And you can get me at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Thank you, everyone. Have a good rest of your weekend. Make sure you check out the Best Of Show tomorrow. Back live on Monday. Until then, this has been PLR of the Cave Show. Tips, bring us on.